from Acts chapter 2 today, the second chapter of the book of Acts. The book of Acts. A book written by one of the apostles, Luke, and details the activities of the apostles and the early church. And I will read a few verses, starting at the 41st verse. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The topic today is a topic that I have shared before, and I think we need to be reminded about the attributes of a New Testament church. So today we're going to talk about, from the topic, the attributes of a New Testament church. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just blessing us again. We just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in this place of worship, Father. Yeah. Now, Lord, we pray that we can just pause those other concerns for a little while to hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray I can preach this message, Lord, the way you would have me to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Attributes of a New Testament church. The book of Acts. It begins with Jesus preparing to leave. He has been crucified, but he has been resurrected. And he hung around with his disciples, and multiple people saw him during that time period. But he let them know that he had to go be with the Father. Uh-huh. So in chapter 1, that did happen. But he let them know that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Uh-huh. And they would be okay. As we look at continuing with this chapter, it was time for the Pentecost. One of the three annual holidays that the Jewish faith observed at that time. And they came to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit showed up in a mighty way. If you look at the beginning of chapter 2, you will see it happening. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Uh-huh. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So a multitude of people had come to observe the Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit showed up. Yes. Isn't it so good when you go someplace for one reason and you're blessed with something else? The Holy Spirit showed up. People from different nationalities who had come together were suddenly speaking in strange tongues. And wherever you came from, you could understand what they were saying. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. They were trying to figure out what was going on. Somebody said they must have drunk too much wine. Amen. But then Peter stood up. Then Peter got up and addressed the crowd. And he explained to the crowd what had happened, that the Spirit had come. He explained to the crowd that Jesus was alive. Yes, you heard the news that he was crucified, but he is still alive. He explained to the crowd why this happened, to save sinners. And he encouraged them to accept Christ as their Lord. If we look at verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a mighty crowd this was, celebrating the Passover, but what a mighty crowd this was that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when we think of the church, the beginning of the church that we worship in, the New Testament church, this is the beginning of it. And there are several attributes of a New Testament church that it would bode us well to make sure that we're not only aware of, that we are participating in ourselves. So allow me a few minutes to share a few attributes of this early church, the same ones that we should be sharing today. Over 3,000 souls were saved. And in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. There are four things in this one passage that I want to highlight that was practiced by the early church. And it's something that is still applicable to us on today. Number one, they believed in instruction. They believed in instruction. Yes, they were saved. Yes, they had the Holy Spirit. But they still had to be taught the ways of the Lord. So it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the apostles' teaching. Steadfastly means to preserve. It means to constantly be diligent. It means to keep pressing forward regardless of what the opposition is around you. We believe today in being taught about the Lord Jesus. No, some people might say that once you get grown, Sunday school is no longer cool. Amen? But I dare say that it's the lifeblood for many of us. Because once we get old, we need to know this word. We need to strengthen our faith in Christ. After all, when Jesus left the disciples, what did he say in Matthew 28, verse 19? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It was so important that Jesus commanded his disciples to teach all nations. Timothy, in Timothy chapter 2, he's talking to his young protege. And these words are said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That was the word to Timothy, amen? In that passage, to study this, to show yourself approved unto God, no matter what our calling is, whether we're in the pulpit, whether we're in the music ministry, whether we're in the usher ministry, whatever ministry we're in, we still need to learn. We still need to learn because we will face tough times ahead. And sometimes it will be that faith and that faith of what we have learned that will keep us going during the tough times. So they believed in instruction, but not only that, look at the second part of this passage. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They believed in fellowship. You know, evidence of a new life with Christ is wanting to be around people like that. Amen? You know, whatever we like to hang out with people who have the same likes that we have, that have the same passions that we have, that have the same interests that we have. So don't find it unusual when you like to be around fellow Christians, because we share so much in common. Believe in fellowship. We look at John chapter 13. Verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." How can you continue to have fellowship with people when you don't love them? How can we continue to be around people when we don't love them? We know it's true that sometimes we avoid certain places because we know that people that we don't love are going to be there. We avoid putting ourselves in certain situations. We used to ask who else is going to be there before we commit. And if it was somebody we didn't like, well, we say, "No, that's all right. Y'all go on. Y'all have fun." But it's the love that makes the difference. It's the love, it's the tie that binds us together. We might not all look alike. We might not all think alike. We might not all praise alike. We might not all study alike. But it's the love for God that we all have in common. It is the acceptance of Jesus Christ in our hearts that keeps us together. So they believed in fellowship. That's point number two. Believed in instruction is one. Believed in fellowship is number two. Not only that, they believed in breaking of bread. They believed in the Lord's Supper. They believed in having communion together with one another. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 tells us that in the early Christians practiced this day, the first day of the week. Remember that meal that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room before he was taken away. How much of our fellowship goes much better when we have a plate in front of us? Amen? Amen. They believed in breaking bread together, one with another. And the last part of that one verse said they believed in prayers. They believed in prayers. They were dependent upon Jesus to get them through. They were dependent upon him before he was taken away. But now that he has been taken away, now he is with the Father and the Holy Spirit has appeared, they are so much more reliant on him. I dare say, my brothers and sisters, that prayer is so important to us today. There are situations that will come up in our lives where the only answer might be, "Let's pray about it. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I'm not smart enough to work it out. Lord, you help me. Lord, I know you've done it before, and I know you'll do it again. I reflect upon the time that Paul and Silas were in prison. And I reflect upon the time they were praying and they were praising. And they were not only in prison, but they were in solitary confinement underneath the prison. They were below ground. But God sent a great earthquake to break down the walls. I'm a firm believer that if we continue in prayer, if we continue in fellowship, if we continue in breaking bread, if we continue in being instructed of the Lord, walls will be broken down. There are walls that you don't even know are there yet. Walls that will be coming up tomorrow. God, break these walls for me. There are walls that we have just gotten around. You know, when I come up against a wall, I have to make a decision. Either I can go over it, or I can go around it, or I can turn around and go back the other way that I came from. Walls will be there. With the Holy Spirit with you, walls can be broken. Walls can be moved. Walls can be shaken. We come together to pray that those walls in our lives will be taken apart. Proverbs 15:29 says that the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears the prayers of the righteous. So you see where I'm going today about these attributes of a New Testament church, a brand new church. They believed in being taught. They believed in fellowshipping with one another. They believed in breaking bread together. They believed in prayer. The question I have is, who are we depending on? Are we depending on the Lord today? And then it goes on in the 43rd verse. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. A healthy respect came upon those who had accepted Christ. They had a sense of reverence. They had a sense of awe. When His Holy Spirit is present, it's time to be still. It's time to reflect. I know that there's a lot of people planning on being outside tomorrow to look at the eclipse. And they've got your glasses. You're all prepared. I believe there's going to come a time where many people are going to stand still and reflect. I believe many people are going to stand and pause and look upon the wonders of God as the moon comes between the sun. But I tell you that there was a much more powerful reverence. There was a much more powerful movement on this day of Pentecost when they understood that Jesus was still alive. They could still keep their heads to the sky. Didn't need no special glasses. Didn't need no special time. But they knew the Lord was in their hearts. Amen. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Wonders are miracles that make you go, miracles that make you just say, how in the world did that happen? How in the world did that person get healed? How in the world was that beggar who was blind suddenly receive his sight? How in the world was the man who laid down and just asked for donations and he was crippled? How in the world was he able to pick up his cot and move away? How in the world was the man who wanted to see Jesus and his friends brought him to the roof and lowered him down and he was healed? How in the world was the woman with the issue of blood healed when she touched the hem of his garment? The same power that Jesus had, he had passed it on to his apostles. And they were doing these signs of wonders for the benefit of showing that God was real. You know, there are many imitators. There are many who try to duplicate. Y'all remember Moses? That was back in the Old Testament. He had to go to Pharaoh and let my people go. Lord said, I got some signs for you to show them if they don't understand. said, take your staff and throw it down, and it became a snake. Pharaoh got his musicians together, magicians together. They said, we can do that too. They threw theirs down, theirs became snakes. But Moses' snake ate all the other snakes. So every time that Moses tried to do something, somebody tried to imitate him. But if God is in the mix, it cannot be duplicated. There are many false prophets out there that will tell you you have to do this or do that to follow Jesus and be a believer in the word. But we serve a real God, an awesome God, an authentic God, the real God, through his son, Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were together, and they did many signs of wonders in verse 12 before the people. And it tells us that they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Then in verse Acts 6, 8, Stephen, the one who was martyred, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Fast forward to Acts chapter 8. Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ Jesus and performed many miracles. When people come together in reverence of the Lord, don't be surprised when miracles happen. Don't be surprised when walls are broken. Don't be surprised when God shows up and moves in a way that we would have least expected. Look at verse 44. And they all believed and were together and had all things common. That's another point. The early church was unified. The early church was unified. There was no cliques. There was no separation. They were unified. And all that believed were together. Now, part of that togetherness was because the rest of the world was not happy with what was going on. They found safety in numbers. They found comfort in being around people like themselves. And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And sold their possessions. How many times have we sold something to give to somebody else? So others might have need. We hold on to our stuff way too long. Our stuff will pass its usefulness when it can be used by somebody else. I was reading an article today about Christian article the other day about an organization where you can donate your instruments that are not being used in your church, where you can pass them on to somebody else who can use them. Bibles that you don't need or don't use can be passed on to somebody else to be used. There are things that we have that can help satisfy the needs of others. I remember years ago, we had a friend in our church who was down and out. And one thing she wanted was a television. And I can remember, I didn't know this, but my wife knew this. I came home from work, like my second television was gone. That was my TV. And this was back in the day. You know, like today, you can buy a TV for $85. You can replace the TV real easy. This was not that day. It was a little bit more to replace the TV back then. Mind you, it was only like a 13-inch TV. But it was my TV. I said, baby, where's my TV? Oh, I gave it to so-and-so. They needed a TV. I said, you could at least ask me first. She said, I knew you wouldn't mind. I minded for just a moment, but then I realized she was right. Uh-huh. We had something that we could share.
Right, right.
And mind you, that was back in the day, the early cable, when we didn't have 500 channels. We only had a few dozen, so we could share the same TV. Uh-huh. But guess what? God blessed me, because later on, I had an excuse to buy a bigger TV.
Right.
So when we share with others sometimes, God will bless you. God will bless you. When you get rid of something that you think is integral to your life, God will still bless you. God has blessed us. We have given away vehicles to people who are in need, and God has still blessed us. Sold one to a person and set up a payment plan. That payment plan lasted 2 months, but I said, that's okay. You keep the vehicle because God still is blessing me. God is still blessing us. You see how this works? When we come together and find out that there is a need among us. Look at these baskets over here. Birthed out of a need of sharing. And you know what? When you step up and share, others will step up and share likewise. They had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man has need. When I first read this as a young Christian, I'm thinking, man, they sold their houses? They sold everything and split it up. But you know, so mighty was God's love that they did not consider their material possessions as their own. When there was a need among the fellowship, they took care of it. They took care of it. Years ago, I was in a taxi cab in Philadelphia, and the driver was from Somalia. And you know, I like to talk to people. When I meet new people, I like to talk to them and find out something about them. And he was telling me about a concept, which I can't remember the name of the concept. But every week, they would have a dinner, him and his extended family, and they would put money in a pot. And at the end of the month, all that money went to an individual that they knew who was in need. They did that. They came together, and they did that. And they said that was their custom back in Somalia, is what he said. And I'm thinking, oh, what a wonderful thing. Somebody who was in need would get it. But in spite of not having very much themselves, they diligently did this. They diligently did this, and they made sure everybody who was in need had what they needed. Acts chapter 4, later on, in this book of Acts, verse 32, it tells about the disciples and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Mm-hmm. My grandparents, some of my father's side, my father's parents, were farmers in Rayford, North Carolina, a very poor area, the state at that time. But you know, I would have never known when I was growing up that they were poor. I knew they didn't have some of the niceties that we might have had. But they were so happy. And my grandfather was a tobacco farmer. And there was a little community called Cambridge Village outside of Rayford where they lived. It was one street that had many houses on it. But you know what? What I learned from that, they shared. Even though they didn't have much, they had enough to share. So somebody might slaughter a hog and they would call their neighbors and say, I got something for you. Somebody else might have an abundance of corn, and they would share it. And they knew how to can stuff and pickle stuff and make stuff last. They didn't have to eat it fresh off the vine. But they had that skill, which I don't know is surviving now. They had things in common, and they shared with one another, and they survived during the tough times and the good times. That's what the body of Christ should be like, sharing with one another. And then in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Next point is they were a biblical community. They were a biblical community. There are different communities based on shared common interests. There are retirement communities. My uncle lives, he moved into a house where you gotta be over 55 to move in there. And that's one thing you notice when you drive through, you don't see any children. But they have a shared interest. They have a shared need. And they live in that type of community. Some people live in golf communities. We're from my part of the state and around Pinehurst. You see a lot of golf communities, but we are a biblical community. They practice their faith daily. Once a week was not enough. Just as you cannot go 7 days consistently without eating, you should not have to wait another 7 days to hear a word from the Lord.
Say it.
We can study any time. A lot of the excuses have been eliminated. Back in the day before the printing press, there were no books. So they had an excuse of not studying. Years ago, we could have said, my Bible's at home. We'd have had an excuse for not studying. But if you got a phone today, you got a Bible. If you got a phone today that is a personal computer, you have a way to study the Word of God. They met daily. They cared for one another daily. And they searched the Scriptures daily. Reflect on Acts chapter 17, verse 11, where Paul and Silas met with the Berea church and found that they received and searched the Word daily to make sure and to confirm that it was true. A biblical community does that. I get calls from people sometimes. They just say, look, I'm reading this, but I don't understand it. Sometimes I know the answer. Sometimes I don't. That's one thing about me. I'm very transparent in that regards. If I don't know the answer, I'll let you know. But we will pray about it. We will study together. And we will find out what the Lord says about that subject. But we can do it ourselves. And look at this in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The early church was magnified among all people. Not only that, but it was multiplied through outreach, prayer, and worship. They believed in praise and worship, praising God.
Tell it.
I wonder why Luke saved this for last. Praising God. Because if you have everything else that came in front of it, you have no excuse not to praise God. They praised God. And look what, they had favor with all the people. Others on the outside looking in said there's something about them that makes them different. There's something about them that makes me want to trust them. There's something about them that tells me they are a peaceful people and mean no harm to mankind. There's something about them. Favor comes with this walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Favor comes with this walk.
Tell it.
Sharon, it was favor that allowed your co-workers to empty their wallets when they could have saved it for the next meal to help somebody else. A young teacher in Durham, North Carolina. It was favor that allows this to happen. So don't be surprised if you are looked upon differently in the workplace, in your communities, because you have favor with all the people. And the Lord, all right, the Lord added to the church daily. Who added to the church daily? The Lord, such as should be saved. So those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord were saved, and they were added to the church daily. If I had a time machine, I wish I could go back just to observe from a distance what was going on. I wish I could go back and just talk to Peter and tell him everything's good. You're not going to come to a good end in this earthly life, but everything's going to be okay. Because of you, many people will be saved because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and the other disciples. This word will go all over the world, and multiple people will be saved because of it. They believed in reaching out. They believed in evangelism. They believed in outreach. They believed in sharing their story with all, so that maybe some might accept Jesus Christ as Lord. I have just shared some of the attributes of a New Testament church, this newly formed church that has come together to worship and praise God, powered by the Holy Spirit. I ask you today to reflect on this and ask yourselves, where am I in this picture? Where am I in this picture? Am I open to instruction? Am I a believer in fellowship, or do I shy away and try to do things on my own? Do I believe in breaking bread with one another? Do I believe in prayer? When was the last time I got down on my knees? I understand that back in the day that they were considered camel knees because their knees were so rough because they were always on them, just praying to the Lord. When was the last time you felt tenderness in your knees because you had been bent down to pray to God? We can all participate in the kingdom building by coming together, by acting like a New Testament church, by taking on the attributes of a New Testament church, by praising like a New Testament church, and sharing the story of Jesus Christ with the people who need a New Testament church, who need a Savior called Jesus Christ. Tomorrow we will look up to the heavens to see a spectacle. But a spectacle is always there.
Say it.
The sun has always been there.
Say it. Right.
Tomorrow we're just going to look at it. Amen? Tomorrow we're just going to look at it. But remember that the early church came together based on the teachings and the ministry of Jesus Christ. A few individuals, empowered by the Holy Spirit, were able to spread this word throughout all nations. And here we are today, recipients of this blessing. But we still have work to do. We still don't know enough about God. We still have opportunities of greater fellowship. We still have opportunities of sharing with one another. We still are the church. And that's the other thing. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. It is us. It is us. It is not the building. So I just wanted to share a few words about the New Testament church today. Reflect on this during this week. Reflect on this of the New Testament church.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you.